great privilege again to be here to you need our care. Jesus didn't need one of these, did he? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You can hear me now. Amen. It's a great privilege again this morning to be able to bring the Word of God and a real sense of God's Spirit here this morning. I could have really worshipped and worshipped and worshipped for ages and for hours and hours because He's worthy of our praise. Do you agree with me this morning? We serve a wonderful and loving Saviour. And much of what's been said this morning has been to encourage people that if you are going through a struggle, that God is with you. And God wants to encourage you this morning. What I'm going to be speaking about today is to continue with our series on prayer. Vince has asked me to speak about putting legs to your prayers. Amen? Putting legs to your prayers. In the previous weeks, we've spoken about being the house of prayer, about how we should pray, and Brother Marlon spoke about how we are righteous in Christ, and that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? And so, to build on that this morning, we're going to talk about the effect of our prayers, and not only the effect of our prayers, but our response. After we've prayed as individuals, what should we do after that? Amen? Amen? So with that in mind, we're going to go to Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And then we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18. So I'll wait for you to get that. And while you're waiting, I'm just going to pray. Amen? Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence here with us. We acknowledge that you are Lord. We acknowledge that you are worthy and that you are great and that you are higher. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that you would minister your word and your life to your people, that, Lord, you will take us deeper, you will take us higher, that we would know that, Father, we sit above every circumstance, every situation, everything that would seek to come against us, that we are hidden in Christ, in God this morning. And that greater is he that's in us than that he that is in the world. And that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every voice that rages in judgment against it, whether it's from outside or within our own minds, shall not have preeminence because you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you all there? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." You could circle the next verse. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go. The word says go. And it's interesting for me that as I was reading this, he didn't say go and make converts. He said go and make disciples. And I was asking myself, you know, we speak about disciples so often that sometimes I don't think we understand the immensity of the word. For to be a disciple is to be a follower or student of Christ. And not only to be a follower or a student, but also to apply that word to our life. Amen. We're not just hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. We're not only to be hearers of the word and not live the word, but to live the word. So to become disciples. And then when he said baptizing them, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I began to think about that also, because we talk about water baptism, but I think there's more of a depth than just the initial or out showing of going through water baptism. Because he didn't say here, baptize them in the name of Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or the Father. He said the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe that even as we go, we are to illuminate the Godhead in its fullness. We are to teach people not only about Jesus, about the power of the Holy Spirit and about the Father. We are to immerse people into the fullness of God. And that is our responsibility. Amen? And 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18 says this. And this is to encourage us this morning to go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How many new creations in here this morning? You can all put your hands up. Amen. Old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in God, who was in God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. How many of you realize that we all have a ministry? Yes. Hands up today. Some people might say, I don't have a ministry. I don't sing. I don't dance. I don't know what I do. But God says, I've called you with a ministry of reconciliation. And you are to go taking that authority in his name. That you are reconcilers and that you all here this morning have that ministry. Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors. Everybody says ambassadors.
Ambassadors.
What are you?
Ambassadors.
Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through you to the world. So this morning, I'm looking upon all of you who are ambassadors. That's an awesome, awesome gift that God has given us. And even though Matthew 28 is a very familiar passage of scripture, I want also just to highlight from Mark, where he said not just to go into the nations, but to go into the world and preach the gospel. Not everybody else will be able to go to different nations. But so in light of that, I want you to ask yourself this morning, what is your world? What is your world? Where do you go? And where are the areas that God has placed you at this moment in time where you have the greatest influence? See, sometimes we can think, I'm only a mother. I'm only a father. Well, I'm only a daughter, or I'm only a son. But that is your world at the moment. You may be a teacher like Ray. You may work in a factory. You're all in the military. You may be a pastor. You may be a shop assistant. But each one of you has got a world and an influence that you have to touch for Jesus. Amen? Where you are to make disciples, not just converts, but disciples. You are to be around people and demonstrate the nature and the character of Christ. And the word of God says this, and this has always been a challenge to me. If you say that you are God's disciples, you must walk as Jesus walked.
Amen. Amen.
That's a really big challenge for us. So just as God said to Joshua, every place that you put your feet, I have given it to you. In your home, in your marriage relationship. Wherever you go, that is your world. Amen?
Amen?
And that we are those ambassadors and that we take great encouragement in that. See, we're part of a different kingdom, aren't we?
Yeah.
A heavenly kingdom. Not of this world. And it's God's desire that through each one of you, he wants to manifest that kingdom. We sung this morning, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why he taught us to pray like that. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Because we are royal priests unto God. This morning we're sitting in the presence of royalty. Isn't that amazing? And so often we don't think of ourselves like that. And I began to think how being British We're part of the United Kingdom. Amen? And we have a royal family over us. We have a queen, and she has her family, and they travel extensively around the world, representing our country. And I was thinking that it's very important how they carry themselves. And it's very important for us how we carry ourselves as children of God. They're always in the spotlight, and we're always in the spotlight. Amen. As much as you realize it, once you say, I'm a Christian, the spotlight is upon you. And people notice if you do anything wrong. It doesn't matter what they do. They can curse. They can lie. They can steal. But don't you dare do that. Because as soon as you do, they'll be like, I thought you were a Christian. Amen? And when you look at our royal family, you'll notice most of the time the media will pick up when they do bad things. Prince Harry, several years ago, was a bit of a bad boy. I don't know if any of you remember that. He would be going out partying, and I'm sure the Queen would have to say, we need to have a little word. It never said anything about the Queen on the front of the paper saying, oh, the Queen has told off Prince Harry. But you know that she did, in quiet. And it's the same with us. There may be times when we feel like, God, I'm just so tired today. I just don't feel like doing this. And God has to say, come here, I need to have a little word with you. Because it's not quite what I want you to be doing. See, Jesus, the Son of God, came to show his Father to this world. He made us know what God is like by demonstrating God's love, his mercy, and his power. He embodied God's love for the lost and hurting. And Bible scholars say he is the exegesis of God. I hope that's correct. And or the proper explanation, interpretation, exposition of who God is. That's powerful, isn't it? So Jesus was able to say, when you see me, you see the Father. And we this morning are the body of Christ. He is still the head. But we are his body. So when people look at us, we have to ask ourselves, do they see love?
Amen.
Do they see mercy?
Amen. Amen.
Do they experience power?
Amen. Come on.
Because a lot of times I think as Christians, it's kind of, yeah, I'm pretty loving. I can say I'm pretty loving. I'm pretty merciful. But am I demonstrating his power?
Come on, preach.
Because sometimes I think we're afraid that if we step out to pray for the sick or the demon possessed or people who have different issues that we don't feel comfortable with, it's going to work in power. But that's not our responsibility.
Come on.
Our responsibility is to go and to preach the gospel. Which is the good news,
Amen.
The delivering news, the news of salvation, the news of a new life that we have in Christ. We're to take that and we're to demonstrate that. He said that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of his word. Not just the word in here.
Amen. Come on, preach.
Not just the word in here, but the word when we're on our job. And we may say just one word, Jesus loves you. Or when people have come into the shop, I've had to say, God, give me a word for these people. People who have got cancer and the lady's hair was dropping out and she handed it to me. And I'm like, God, what do I say? Don't say anything. Hug her. Tell her that she's loved. Or people whose marriages are broken. Or people who have lost everything and they just open up to you. We need the word of God. And we need his power.
Yes.
We need to know that when we reach out and touch somebody, even if it's with a glass of water, it won't go unrewarded.
Amen.
That God will take that and he will, like he broke the loaves and the fish with that young man, he'll break it and he'll minister his life so that what you give them, there will be an overflow from their life to others. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So the responsibility we have is this: to be his representatives, to show the world his life and reflect him in a correct way. Now, I have to put my hands up. I don't always get it right. Everybody who gets it right? Oh, there's a few. I sometimes feel like I'm like Peter in the garden of Gethsemane, who gets out the sword and he just lobs off that guy's ear. Sometimes we're like that with the word, aren't we? I know when I first got saved, I was terrible. You need to be saved. You need to repent. You're a sinner. And God's like, oh, it might be true, but the spirit with what you're conveying it is not the spirit of Christ. Amen. It's your flesh. Sometimes I'm like Peter, and I'm sure I do deny him. Maybe not in word, but maybe my actions. Or maybe I get boastful and say, oh, I won't ever deny you, Lord, not me. Maybe they might all, but I won't. Pride, arrogance,
That's right.
Where we have to say, God, keep me humble before you, because I know I'm still flesh. I know there are times I'll let you down and won't do what is right. Or I might even be like Peter in the boat. Oh, I'm going to walk on the water. You can all stay in here, but I'm getting out, because Jesus has called me. But then he got fearful. Yeah. It's encouraging that he got out,
yeah,
but not to the extent where you make other people feel
less than.
Right. Amen?
Yeah. Preach it.
So we do at times make mistakes, but I'm thankful that he knows our hearts. And I'm thankful that as we grow and mature, we become more like him, growing in confidence, not in our own ability, but in the knowledge and understanding that God is for us and is with us, and that he wants us to go and reach this world, our world, for his glory. You may be saying this morning, I don't feel like I have anything to give. I don't feel like I'm gifted like some people. But we do have his love, and we do have his power and mercy. And I want to end today with showing you a picture and telling you a story of a gentleman who they called Mr. Eternity. Has anybody heard of this gentleman? No? Okay. We're going to put up a picture. This is Sydney Harbour Bridge, the year 2000. And it was also up for the Sydney Australian Olympics. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Eternity. For 25 years in Sydney, all over Sydney, on pavements, on walls, different areas, they would see this word, eternity. Nobody knew who was writing the word. They just said it was done in beautiful writing. And over the 25 years, it was written 550,000 times. 550,000 times. Now, I mean, obviously the rain washed it away. People would erase it. It's not like it was everywhere over the whole of the city. And one day, a gentleman, well, a pastor, found one of his congregation had been writing this. His name was Albert Stance. He had come from a family where both the parents were alcoholics. His mother ran a brothel, and consequently, as he grew up, he too became an alcoholic. He walked into a church one day and heard the preacher preaching, "Where will you spend eternity?" And he got saved. He was 5'3", they said, illiterate. You could hardly read his signature or his name, because he self-confessed he couldn't really read, he couldn't really write very well. But after his conversion, he felt God was directing him to write the word eternity. Now, this is a guy who can't write very well. But when he began to write the word eternity, this is how he wrote it. And the Holy Spirit directed him to areas of Sydney where he wanted him to write this word. And for 25 years, he did this. So as time went on, and they found out who he was, he became an icon in that city. So much so that when he died, they had a plaque erected to him in a park with eternity, Mr. Eternity. And affected the city so much because everybody was like, every time I see this word, that's what I think about. What's going to happen to me in eternity? And it isn't something often that you hear anybody talking about. Not on the news, not government. You never hear many people speaking about eternity. Maybe not even very often in churches. You don't hear that message. And so much so that after he died, this is years and years later, when they did the 2000 Olympics and the Millennium Fireworks, they put his word up. He affected that city that much. And who knows how many people, through that one word being written everywhere, were affected and became Christians. And I also thought to myself, the amazing churches we have in Australia, Hillsongs, all of these churches, which perhaps would not be as powerful as they are if people's hearts had not been prepared by this man years before. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged that no matter how small a thing that you're doing this morning, no matter how small a thing you think or effect you think you're having on people, whether it's being a wonderful daughter to your parent, or a wonderful mother, or a grandparent, or any of these things, keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. Keep on giving. Keep on going. Keep on affecting your world. Amen. I have the privilege so often, and my daughter's here this morning, that when we go out at times, people will come up to her and speak to her who are strangers, but on the verge of committing suicide or various different things. Now, what would happen if she didn't respond to these people? What would happen if she said, and I don't mean to embarrass you, I will pray for you, or let's pray for you now. What if she felt, I don't have any power? But you're not giving your power. You're not giving your love this morning. You're giving Christ's love, Christ's mercy, Christ's power to a lost and a dying world. So I want you to be encouraged this morning. God may never ask you to write the word eternity all over Lakenheath, but he might.
He might.
He might. And it might not be eternity. It might be something completely different. But know this. Every time you do something in the name of Jesus, there will be a reward. Amen. Amen.